Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 413. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Woohoo, I'm here, yay!
And Jeff.
Hi.
And Pete.
Hello.
Well,
you guys are less excited to be
here. I was trying to do my Eeyore impression for you.
You sound like fucking Christopher Robin. Everyone's so down. And
did you read IGN's review of that movie, man? They fucking roasted that movie. Was it
plagiarized?
Hilariously, no.
I don't know. Jeff and I both liked it, so
interesting.
I liked it though, but I said it's not a very good movie, but I liked it. If that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense.
You said it was weird.
I think the thing is very close to being an absolute dog, but like I personally enjoyed it.
I had a good time with it. But let me know if Dead Cells is a good time.
Peter?
Take it away. I have food in my mouth.
First off, it's not the game I expected, I guess.
Okay. So what was the game you expected?
Like a Metroid-type game. You know,
yeah.
Like Hollow Knight, like Ori, anything like that. And it's like, because the first time I ever heard about it, that's kind of the way someone described it. I don't know where I heard about it. It might have been like the Bombcast or something. Like a year ago, I heard about this game. The person was very passionate about how cool it was, whatever. And I was like, okay. And, you know, they said Metroid. So it's like, I've had this game ticked off in my head since then. I have not, like, looked into it super deep. I've just been like, all right, pre-ordered, excited. You know, waiting for it to unlock. I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, and I had heard like Castlevania, like that was
being
around a lot beforehand. So it's not that.
It's that to a small to a lesser degree than perhaps it lets on. Like you do get these permanent upgrades that are the traversal upgrades that let you reach new areas throughout the levels that you're going to.
Okay, but I've gotten I think one of those so far.
Yeah, did you get the Vine one?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of another one that I've gotten that's like.
Okay. Well, I got the one like that lets you. You ever see those statues that you have to like rub?
Yes.
To generate electricity? Yeah. I got the one that makes those work and stuff. So.
Oh, baby, rub that.
What do those statues do when you have the ability? Like, what happens then?
Oh, you know what happens.
They explode.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
They teleport you to a matching statue.
Oh.
That okay. is not where I thought that was going to go.
So. Like, yeah, it has that element of you acquire new things that allow you to reach new areas, right? But it is like, and I have not played a lot of games like this, so like right away, and I knew this going in too, like it had been mentioned, oh, it has rogue elements or whatever. It reminds me of Rogue Legacy more than anything, where it's just like, yeah, there's some things that you keep and you're slowly building yourself up as you're hitting your head against a wall. But, like, mostly what the game is it's, like, a handful of levels, and you trying to get better and better at them, and you keep, you know, very little permanent upgrades as you do, like, so many things you do lose, like, when you die. Like, say you level up your health 3 times in a run. Once you die, that's gone. Like, you're basically restarting the game every time you die from the beginning and trying to run through these levels.
Yeah,
it's Are the levels the same each time?
No.
They are the same area, but they are, you know,
like Rogue Legacy, where it's like the rooms are different.
There's elements that are going to be the same, right? Like, so, like, yeah, there's like a door that you're looking for, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's always going to be the same. But yeah, like the layout will change every time.
So it's more Rogue Legacy than Castlevania in that manner, then, right? Like,
I mean, I feel that way. I don't know about, like, Peter, what do you think? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not as familiar with Castlevania as you guys are.
Well, Castlevania is very much a authored, like, set area, right? Like, so there are levels that you go through, and if you play that game, it is the exact same as if I play that game, and if Jeff plays that game. Like, you know,
this is not that.
Yeah, the choices that we have, like, are in the weapons we use, but like everybody faces the same enemies and the same jumps, and like this changes.
Mm-hmm.
So like me playing it and you playing it, totally different.
Not totally, but
well,
different
like,
enough, yes.
Like,
well, because, like, you know, the first level, for example, you and I are not going to have totally different types of enemies, right? It'll be the same three enemies that we face. Now, the items you may find and I might find are going to be somewhat different, but basically...
I think your general experience, though, from person to person is going to feel similar.
Yes, because the amount of random stuff that can happen grows gradually as you continue through the game and you unlock more stuff. So, like, when you start the game, the amount of items you're available to find is only from, like, a pool of 10. Right. Then as you collect more currency and play through levels more time, you unlock more items that can appear more and more times and stuff like that. But, so, you know, larger chance to get better items, basically, and stuff. But the traversal aspect of, like, a Castlevania or Metroid game is probably where you heard that, Jeff, because it is a lot of, like, oh, I can't access this area yet. Go find the item, and then on the next run, I will always have this item that lets me activate this.
Yeah, I guess I expected more that to be more of the loop than it is, though. It really is pushed into the background. It's like... Like I said, I've played the game probably almost 10 hours
so far. Way more combat
is one thing like that. Yeah. And it is really about, like, slowly just improving your character so that the level becomes manageable, like, in terms of just fighting through it. You know what I mean?
Now, to be fair, you can also just speed through the level and ignore all the enemies and stuff. Like,
For sure.
There are these doors at the beginning of, like, every level after the first that are timed through the world timer. And so, like... You know, if you're too slow through the first level, it'll be closed. But if you make the first level in, like, a minute, then it'll, you know, in under 2 minutes, it'll be open and it'll give you a bunch of rewards and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, like, for example, if you can make it to this door in the second level within 2 minutes, then you could go past it and you usually get a bunch of, like, the permanent upgrade you're getting in this game is, like, these cells, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you want to survive through the end of a level to spend your cells that you've gotten, and that gives you your permanent shit. So, these timed doors that are scattered throughout the game have a bunch of cells behind them. It's, like, an easy way to upgrade your character, like, to grind, basically.
Well, yeah, I mean, the trade-off is that you don't get to, like, loot any chests.
You're missing,
like,
a lot of
level. Like, collect any scrolls that upgrade your stats, but you do get a fuck ton of, like cells. Or, like, you could just spend 5 minutes in the level, kill every enemy, and in my opinion, walk out with maybe two or three less cells than you would have gotten had you just run through it.
Yeah, and I feel like when you have a good run is when you're going to be really exploring the level, because you're going to want to have your character, like, really built up by the time you reach the boss, you know what I mean? Like, and if you're just running through the levels, it's not going to happen. It's going to...
Yeah, and I mean, it's a hard game. Like, not gotten extremely far.
I've gotten to the first boss. So
I beat the first boss, and I got to two levels after him. I have not made it to the second boss.
Right. You might be pretty far in the game then, though, because I don't think it's that many levels.
They said there are three or four bosses.
And I want to say the game's like six or seven levels or something, dude. Like, but like,
well,
within
there's
alternate paths.
That's the thing, is that, like, there's, like, actually, like, you know, 20 levels. It's just, like, okay, from level 1, do you want to go to 2A or 2B?
But, like, one playthrough of the game is going to be, like, 7 levels long or something weird like that. Like, if you survive and make it and beat it, right? But, like, there is, like, people are saying there's, like, I don't know how many exactly, but there's closer to, like, 15, 20 levels in actuality.
Okay.
That you could see from playing through it a bunch. And finding different paths.
I don't know how many bosses there are necessarily. I've only ever gotten to, like I said, the first one.
I almost had him the last time I fought him. Like, I just totally got cornered when he, like, puts that red ball around himself.
Yeah, the ice grenade, in my opinion, is crucial in that fight.
I walked in there with, I don't know what the hell I had. Like, something that you throw down the ground and it shoots at him.
Oh, that thing's really good, too.
I was doing that and, like, another, like, super high-level grenade at him. And, like, they were, like, basically killing him for me. Like, I had him a quarter down within, like, 10 seconds. I was like, damn, dude! Because, like, normally I'm running in with my sword barely chipping away at him.
Yeah, your abilities and grenades are way more important than you would think in the outset.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this, but it's not as... Okay, so fighting the first boss is... Well, okay, I was going to say it's like Dark Souls, but I guess in reality it's more like fighting any boss where it's just pattern recognition, right? Because you're on a 2D plane and it's just like, okay, in this phase he will do attacks A, B, and C.
Yeah, now you gotta roll.
Now you gotta roll, and you know, or if you have a shield, you can use a shield to block and stuff like that. The rest of it is just like, you know, waiting for that exclamation point to pop up and not get hit.
Okay, three questions here. One, do you keep equipment when you die?
Nope.
All right. So now, that's...
what you can do is unlock better starter equipment. So as you collect souls or cells to the collector, which is the unlocked dude, and stuff, you can just unlock way better starting equipment. So like, I've unlocked a better starter bow. And so now I have this thing that shoots like a bunch of arrows at once instead of just the one, and does way more damage and stuff, just to give you more advantage. You can also unlock stuff that allows you to keep more gold through each death.
So like, when you run into a shop and, you know, one of the levels, you could easily just buy. It's weird. Yeah, it's like almost like a workaround to, like, nothing is actually permanent, like, in that sense, but like, you know, yeah, now I start off with a better weapon than before.
With more gold and stuff.
And I imagine that will, like, continue to, like, where eventually you'll always start with, like, a level 4 weapon, I would hope, like, that you unlock shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really, I've only unlocked, like I said, a better starting bow. I haven't gotten the better melee weapon unlocked yet, and,
I have, you know, but it's like, it's going to be one of the ones that you've unlocked. You know what I'm saying? At some point, I think it's going to kind of ramp with how much you level up your character that you'll also be starting.
It all depends on the badass of items that you've unlocked as well.
Okay. But other questions. So, like, in Rogue Legacy, right, like, you basically level up by getting gold and then buying your upgrades after you die. And then you have to give all your gold to, like, the guy at the gate castle. So in this, you said you upgrade your guy with cells.
Yeah.
So do they bank, or like, do you have to use them all when you're done?
So you can't leave the room with the unlocked dude until you've spent them all.
Okay.
So you
can put them. You can put like one in each thing if you wanted to, and take you forever to unlock everything if you did it that way. But you just dump them all into one thing. That way, I think that's done, so that way, like, if for whatever, like, you can't lose them in the next level, it's just like, okay, you spent them.
No, that's like, so you're like, you're spending them, and like, it, so let's say strength, I don't really know how this stuff, but like, you're upgrading your strength stat, and you need like X amount to get there. You can dump in like 50 or whatever to get you like halfway there.
Yeah.
Then the next time, like, you can dump in another 50 and... Yeah. Okay, so it is different than like how Rogue Legacy is, where it's like, if you didn't come out of the castle with like, you know, 1,000 gold, like, and you've already gotten up to X level, like, you're not going to advance. So you're always advancing if you
get. Yes, you are always making progress through.
You make it to the end of the level,
at the end of the level. If you don't make it to the end of the level, you lose everything.
Yeah, and it's not like. Unlike Dark Souls, you can't make it back to collect your souls again or whatever. Like, they're just gone if you die. Like,
all right, but you are at least like permanently upgrading your character once you complete a level.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're upgrading the item pool. Your character, you upgrade through the.
Okay.
Through playing and stuff. Like, you have a number of stats and stuff, but like, you're not gonna. As far as I have seen, there are no upgrades yet that are like start with more HP. And stuff like going to be like, oh, start with a better weapon, which in theory obviously would do more damage,
right.
So, you know,
but you, I mean, you do start with extra potion, like, so
one of those are healing items, but like, you still start with 100 HP,
but that's kind of extra HP in a way, though, like, you know, because now I could upgrade to 3 if I pump enough money into it. It's like, that's essentially like having 3, you know, HP bars almost,
or like, yeah, or three lives, kind of like.
Well, no, because
if you click it,
but
Well, no, but like
you will not automatically heal yourself. Let me tell you.
No, no, right, but like you get through a tough battle, and like you can use your potion.
So it's like, it's like you are getting something for your work, you know.
Okay.
Like, look, man, it's not the game I expected. It's not the game I really wanted. I don't really love this genre, but I will say this: that like I've been pretty addicted to it for the last couple of days. Like,
I love it.
Really long stretches of playing it. It's like hard to tear myself away from it, even though I'm just like literally playing like the same three or four levels over and over and over and over.
But it's so really fun, it's really smooth, and like fast paced and stuff. So like, even if you feel like, oh my god, I've done this level like a billion times, you're not really spending more than 2 minutes in it. Like three, if you really go nitty gritty, especially in like the first couple of levels after you've learned them a couple of times. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, oh okay, like.
Once you feel confident with the controls, too, I feel like the combat does feel really good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay. It takes a little bit to get used to, but, like, just the combination of being able to roll out of shit, like, it just, the controls are just really fucking tight. And it has, like, a cool, like, I don't think the screenshots show it off as well, like a weird kind of, like, rotoscoping look to the 2D animation.
It reminds me of old PS1
like,
animation.
Like, Flashback or fucking, with the old Capcom, like, Aladdin games and shit like that. Like, I don't know. It has a weird look to the 2D animation that I really fucking like.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
You guys, I was pretty down on it, like when I was like, oh, it's procedurally generated and it's a roguelike, but you guys made me a little
that stuff is my shit. Like, I love random stuff because, like, it's, you know, you're just constantly chipping away at unlocks and stuff. Like, I don't know.
And the core game here, I think, is so fun to actually play. Like we just said, really tight controls and everything.
Right.
And it does feel like a 2D Castlevania, kind of, you know, like its own take on it.
I mean, it's obviously inspired by it. One of the food options that you get for like the healing items is just Castlevania. Like,
yeah.
It's like, what do you want your food to look like? You know, because I guess that's like how you heal and stuff. And I just chose the Castlevania option.
It's just like a giant, like, pork loin.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
So it's kind of a pleasure to play through the same fucking shit over and over. You know, slight variations.
The pleasurable pork loin.
All right, Pete, what are you planning on?
I'm on PC.
All right, Jeff?
Switch.
How is it playing on the Switch?
It's fine. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've heard that their big thing now that it's out is to fix the Switch version because it's...
There is, like, I have had instances where... what do you call it?
Frame rate drops?
Yeah, like pretty like bad. But it gets over it real quick. And it's usually like as you're like running away from a really fucking heavily, like, you know, populated area and kind of transitioning to somewhere else. Like, it'll just be like a little hitch in the animation for a second. But it's like, it's not happening a like enough where I'm like it matters to me. For me, the ability to play it the way I have, like handheld a lot, like while watching TV, it way outweighs the ability to like play it on my Xbox where it might run slightly smoother. Like, this game is awesome to play almost as a background game. Like, it's a great multitasking game, I guess. How I would put it.
Okay. All right. Well, it's back on my radar. So
it's, you know, like, it's not my type of game, but I am enjoying it a lot. So there's a chance you might dig it, Chris.
I think it's on sale.
It was, if you pre-ordered it, I know it was $5 off.
Yeah. I think it's back to 25 now.
I don't know. I bought it on sale on Steam, so I'm not sure where it is now on
the consoles. It was like pre-order. That was like the pre-order price.
Yeah, I saw it on Switch the other day and on Xbox before it came out at 20. So, and now it's up to 24. So nice.
I don't know, man. I'd say it's worth it, though. Do it.
All right, Tony, tell us about Power Rangers Tactics.
Please, Tony, tell me about the Power Rangers.
I've been staring at this game forever called Chromo Squad, and it finally went on sale on Xbox because I really wanted to get it on Xbox during the Xbox summer sale. So the basic premise is you control this team of guys who are stuntmen for like a Power Rangers-esque squad, except they hated working there and they hated their director, so they all quit and formed their own studio where they could have their own show. And you control these five Power Ranger-esque people as they like film episodes of their show. And in each episode, you'll have like a director give you like two directions, and if you follow those directions and if you do cool stuff during the show, you get fans, and the more fans you get, the more money you make. So as you progress through the episodes, you like use the money to run your studio and to like buy equipment and like upgrade your people. So it's kind of like a, you know, the RPG progression is through this whole like, you're filming the show.
It actually sounds like really fun, like interesting.
It's really cool. And when you're actually playing through the episodes, it's kind of like, you know, doing an episode of like Power Rangers, or whatever, but you know, through the fourth wall, if you're like sitting on set watching them do it, and they're all like saying shit to each other, like, why is this happening during this episode? Did this happen during the last episode? And they're like complaining about like the monster having a crappy costume. There's one episode where the monster, the guy who's supposed to play the monster doesn't like his costume, so he just decides to wear a barrel. He's like naked in the barrel, and like you're fighting him as you roll, and that's his superpowers, like rolling around in the barrel and trying to roll.
Is it a tactics game?
So it is a tactics game. You're like moving your characters around on this grid. It's turn based, so you'll move your characters and then attack, and the enemies will move and then attack you. And your characters have like special abilities, depending on what weapons they happen to be carrying. And the better your budget gets, like you can buy better weapons for your characters. So when you start off, you have like cardboard swords. And then you can buy like a bow made from a coat hanger. Everything sounds really crappy too. It's like this helmet made from a bucket. I don't know, gloves made from stuff you found in the ground, that kind of stuff. So yeah, but it's basic Power Ranger stuff. Like you fight your guys, like chromatize and get their little costumes on. Eventually you unlock this like mech, which is like this cardboard figure.
I don't know what they call in Power Rangers. I wanted to say Voltron.
The Zord, the Megazord. What do they call it here? They call it the Mecha. Very, very deep. Yeah, it's very Power Rangers. It's all turn-based except for the mech combat, which is quasi-real time. It's just like, it's basically a long, quick time event. It's fun. It's a lot more fun than I thought it would be. I kind of regret not getting it sooner.
How much was it?
I got it for $7.50.
Huh. When was it made?
This game came out like it was a Kickstarter game like 2 years ago on PC.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that.
No, it's a lot of fun. It's got like an 8-bit style. It's not like what I would normally play, but that's it's cool.
I like the humor aspect of it. So.
Yeah, they're always fighting.
That's like, funny.
Why? You could tell like which character wrote the episode. Why is this episode all about you? And like that kind of stuff. It's good. It's really good.
Do you get new cast members and stuff? Like, is it XCOM in that way, or is it just like always the same set of dudes?
I believe you can hire and fire people. I haven't done that. There are also like people who like rotate through the show, and you have like people just show up off the street and help you. Like, thanks, random dude who decided to join the show for the day.
A day player, man.
You're right.
Nice.
Yeah.
I might have to look into that one.
Yeah, no, me too. I'm a little bummed to hear that it's 8-bit. I was hoping it was like 3D in the XCOM kind of way, because I think that would be really funny. But I guess as a Kickstarter game, what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, depending upon what they were asking for, they could do better than that. But sounds like it does okay with what it's trying to do. So
totally.
Another like small game you're playing.
Like all I've been playing
is Bomber Crew, which Bomber. I downloaded. I haven't tried yet, but
so Bomber Crew is a. I wouldn't call it a flight simulator. It's more like a flight crew management sim. So what you do is you recruit your crew for your little bomber, and they have all these stats and abilities and whatever they can do. And you recruit a pilot, and you recruit like an engineer who can go and repair stuff in your plane, and you recruit like a gunner, like a ball turret gunner and a tail gunner and a bombardier. And you go off in your plane and you fly missions. In these missions, you could be like bombing a supply depot, or you could be hunting a submarine, or you could just going out to take pictures of coast defenses or whatnot. But when your plane's in the air, it's like a real-time crew management sim. So you can run over, you tell the pilot that he needs to put up the landing gear, and then you run over and you tell the engineer that he needs to go fix the electrical system because the electrical system is going out. And while you're doing all that, you can like scan the sky to see if there's like planes attacking you, and you mark the targets, and then your gunners like automatically start shooting at them. And when you fly over the target, you take control of the bombardier, and you're like, okay, drop the bomb now, but remember to open the bomb bay doors first. but like I zoomed through like the first three missions. I'm like, this game is pretty easy. It's like really easy to shoot down the fighters. Like marking them is really easy. I always feel like all that goes really fast. And then I got to the fourth mission, which for some reason was still marked the same difficulty as the other missions, and it all went to shit. I had some poor plane come along and kill three of my guys, and I don't know. Suddenly, it seemed a little bit harder. The missions that got really stressful too. They knocked out one of my engines, and my plane was on fire. And I'm like, oh my god, is everybody going to die? And like, there's stuff you could do in the game, like bail out and hope that your crew makes it back to England. That kind of thing.
Is it a World War II game?
It's set in World War II. It's not clear, like from the design, you're not in a B-17. I'm pretty sure it's like a British, like the company that made it is English, so it's kind of got that British feel to it, and all like the terminology they use is like British terms from the war and that kind of stuff. The missions are kind of stressful, but they're also really short. Like it takes like 5 minutes to fly to France, bomb it, and fly back. But because they're so short, a lot can happen really quickly, and it
up the stress level.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Of course, I'm playing it on Xbox because that was free on Game Pass, and I'm not necessarily sure that an Xbox controller would be the best way to play a game like this.
Maybe better with mouse keyboard.
Yeah, with bindings and being able to click really quickly.
Right.
I kind of found it was a little fiddly. Your nose gunner and your bombardier are the same person, which is helpful in some cases. But you also need to like switch him from where he's sitting in the nose turret to the bombardier spot so he can drop the bombs. And sometimes switching back and forth between those two spots is a little fiddly with the controller. But then again, I mean, that was like the one big concern I had with the controls. So I don't know. Maybe it's not
okay.
Breaking. Plus, if you have Game Pass, it's free. So
yeah, that's why I downloaded it.
That's a nice price.
Yes.
And that Game Pass really paying for itself.
It really is. I have not regretted it at all, especially since I'm, you know, using my Xbox rewards and my like Bing rewards to pay for it, so it's free.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Then free is the right price.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Jeff.
Yes.
You got an Octopath.
This microphone back on.
You got an Octopath update?
Not really. Kind of stopped halfway through chapter 2.
Okay.
Seems to be the drop off point for a lot of people.
Really?
How about you? Did you
beat it or anything? I have not beaten it. I'm still behind you. I've not hit chapter 2 on anything. I am halfway through chapter 1 for my 7th guy. So I'm like 18-19 hours in.
Yeah, I mean, the game is really, I don't have anything bad to say about it. I think the combat is amazing. Like, it keeps getting more fun. That's all I really care about in that shit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I started skipping the story stuff. But I don't know, for whatever reason, I think it does get a little grindy after a while. Like, you're probably not there yet. Like, once you get into the second chapters, you're going to be kind of underleveled for certain things. So then you just have to, like, grind shit out. So that's kind of I think that's where I was just like, well, I've kind of seen what this game has to show me in a way. And okay. I don't feel like doing this. So I got other games coming out now, you know, like I'm really into Dead Cells at the moment. So,
all right, yeah, I'm still playing. Like, I don't play it every day, but like I will pick it up and grind for like an hour, or hit up a couple of story beats or something. So,
I forgot to mention it before the show. I did buy that game, The Surge, for like $12.50 on Xbox.
They're coming out with a new one of that soon.
Yeah, I guess, like, which is crazy because I didn't know that the first one was like a big enough hit. You know?
Is that's the sci-fi Dark Souls-ish type?
That's exactly what it fucking is, dude. And it's like cool because like as you upgrade your character, they start to look more and more like fucking Ripley at the end of Aliens, where you're just like in this giant ass thing walking around.
Nice.
Yeah, it's basically what it is. It's like sci-fi fucking Dark Souls. I didn't get really far in it because I bought it like the day before Dead Souls came out. I mean, it's like the first boss. But it's totally like that's totally what it is. It even has like Dark Souls levels that kind of bend back on themselves where you keep finding more and more shortcuts to get you closer to where the boss is. And it has, you know, some slight, like, minor little differences that I kind of like, though. Like, you could pause the game, which you cannot do in any Souls game. You could also, like, when you go back to your, like, save point area, like, you could bank souls or whatever you want to call them. You know, just, like, put them in a bank there to spend for later. Nice. So they're not always at risk. So, yeah, it seemed, I mean, I don't know if it's still on sale, but for $12... I was getting into it. I was actually enjoying it. I was definitely stuck on the first boss. I couldn't do shit. And I don't think you could summon people in that game at all. So,
I don't think any multiplayer aspect at all.
Yeah. But, I mean, at a deep discount, I'd say, fuck yeah, go for it. Like, I was really kind of getting into the combat. The other cool thing about the combat is, like, when you lock onto an enemy, you can then cycle through, like, all their limbs or, like, whatever, their torso, their head, whatever, and you're looking for their weak spot, like, whatever doesn't have armor. So it's, like, a nice little wrinkle to the combat.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. I was digging it.
Cool. I'm playing a little bit on my phone, the new Rayman game. Actually, I don't know how new it is, but it came up on, like, Game of the Day or something on the App Store. It's called Rayman Adventures. I don't know if you guys ever play Fiesta Run or
no.
Has that like Rayman Origins kind of art style.
It's like an endless running or whatever.
No, they're level based. They're not. It's not endless. But it's kind of. Did you play Super Mario Run?
No.
Okay, so it's they're levels that you play, but your character free runs, right? So you like swipe,
you just jump or do whatever, right?
You jump or like in this you can actually change direction and go back, but your character's always has forward momentum. Like the game is always pushing your character forward. You're controlling the jumps or the attacks or the slides, but so you're always moving, and it seems okay. At first thought it was more like Fiesta Run or Jungle Run, where they're just like levels and you're progressing like a normal game. This has Adventures, which is a set of like 4 or 5 levels. And I played one level and then like put my phone down. And I don't know, a few hours later, I got a notification that my adventure had expired. So like you can actually like it'll boot you out. Like you can either, I guess you pay gems or whatever to continue that adventure, or you start a new set of levels. It's a little weird, but you know, for a couple minutes here and there, play on your phone, it does an okay job. Pete, tell us about Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah. So yeah, Evo happened this past weekend.
Yes.
And I finally just like broke down and bought it because the finals were really good and I wanted a fighting game to play. And it's really fun. Like, it's not very complicated. Like, I'm sure it could be if I really got into it. There are a couple mechanics that I just don't think I'll ever be able to
master.
Yeah, because I'm just bad. I've been able to like win a couple of rounds here and there. I've never won a full fight yet. We're getting there, baby steps. It's a tag game. It's like Marvel.
Okay.
It's a little less it's far less complicated than Marvel. Marvel had all these things where like each character had 3 different types of assists, and each character could combo into one another like in unique ways and stuff. And some of that exists here, but like the combos aren't meant to be game enders. Like in Marvel, it was always like first dude to make a mistake has lost the match because the other guy can just combo infinitely until he dies.
Right.
And stuff like that. And this is a little bit more, it's a bit more back and forth, which I appreciate and stuff. And yeah, I don't know. It's a lot like the show. Like, I mean, it wears its, you know, its influence on its back or, you know, on its, I don't know, on its skin, however you want
to sleeve.
Sleeve, thank you. It's been a very long week. but yeah, no, I don't know. I would like I bought the I don't know what the phrase is, but like it came with the season pass and
okay.
And stuff because for Evo they were having a sale. And so I bought that for the price of the full game. And stuff, and I've been satisfied with it so far. Like, you know, I've been playing a little bit every day, trying to figure out my team and stuff. But I mean, yeah, if you don't care about the show and you just sort of play fighting games very casually, I would not probably bother with it.
Okay, so it's like, more for fans. I was going to ask, like, is it something that like you necessarily like if you're a fan of the show it sounds like yes, but
yeah, I mean I just don't see the what the appeal could be to non-fighting game fans, except for the fact that maybe it is easier to get the handle of okay, for example, there are not 10 button combos in this game like there are in Tekken, right? Like
mm-hmm.
You know, and in fact, most combos are auto combos. Like, you're just going to mash the X button on an Xbox controller 4 times, and the dude's going to do 4 moves, one out after the other, and then you know, you can try and follow that up. Not every auto combo can follow up with another combo and stuff, but it's more about, like, fundamentals of, like, learning your blocking, timing of, like, when to attack, when to block and stuff, you know, where to block, as opposed to, like, learning 8 million combos for 3 different characters, you know? Like,
right.
So, you know, in that regard, I might recommend it in terms of it just being easier,
more accessible fighting game.
Yeah, by far, you know. Even more so than something like Street Fighter and something like that. Like, you can literally just button mash and your dude will do shit. Like, you may even win by accident. Like, like, if you hit it enough times and stuff, you know, supers will happen and stuff. Like, it's not about, like the only quarter circles that exist in the game are to do the circle, and it's one quarter circle. You don't ever have to do, like, charge attacks don't exist in this game. Thank Christ. And, you know, there's no back forward or forward back. It's just like, okay, you know, you do a different attack when you jump, you do a different attack when you're on the ground, you do a slightly different attack when you're crouching, but most of the time it's all the same shit.
Alright.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you don't care about the show, like, you're just gonna look and be like, I don't understand who any of these people are, like,
yeah, that's like, kind of where I'm at.
You can sort of infer a character, like, if you're a fan of the show, you can infer a play style based on, like, the characters. Like, okay, this dude was a fucking powerhouse in the show, so he's probably going to be slow, more of a grappler, you know, this and that. This character is really fast in the show, so their character values speed more than this and that. You know, but
as somebody who's never watched the show, I'm gonna, like, gonna have no luck to who these people. Yeah. Okay. There we go. sounds like it's a decent fighting game and a definite one for fans of the show, though. So
yeah, I mean, at Evo they announced a bunch of stuff, you know, more DLC characters and stuff. You know, they're getting into some movie characters and stuff now, even though the movies are technically, like, non-canon and stuff. But it's good that they're willing to expand their reach.
Nice. Tony.
Yes.
You are now, there was a game called Endless Space.
Yes.
I don't exactly know how you make a second one of them, but,
well, space is endless, so there's a lot of room for more space.
Suppose, but wouldn't the first one have been endless?
Well, sure, but, you know.
Well, we all thought No Man's Sky was going to be the game to end all games.
This is true. So what's Endless Space 2?
Endless Space 2 is a Space 4X game. I don't know if you guys remember me playing Endless Space.
To be honest, all your 4X games blend together.
Fozzie was a big fan of Endless Space. I thought it was okay. But the game was having a free weekend last weekend, this past weekend. I don't know, time's all running together. The game just had a free weekend anyway. And then I remembered that I had bought it on the Steam sale in December, never played it. So I figured I'd give it a shot. It's pretty basic 4X stuff. You explore the galaxy, finding planets, researching technologies. It has a ship builder, so you can, like, design your own ships. So I was kind of messing around with the name, so I designed a ship that was really boring, so I called it Bleh.
Very creative of you.
There was a Dreadnought class ship that I built. I thought it was pretty awesome, so instead of it being Dreadnought, I named it Dread Yes. I was super creative with these names. But it seemed really basic. As you're exploring space, and this annoyed me about the first game too, there are, like, lines between the galaxies, so everything, like, travels on those lines between the star systems.
Okay.
So it makes space into kind of this weird grid thing, which I guess is okay. Space combat can only occur in a space system, though, so you'll have, like, your fleet going past an enemy fleet, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You also can't turn fleets around when they're in the grid, So like you'll have this fleet like fly right past an enemy fleet, which is coming towards your system. You'll be like, oh shit. Well, that fleet needs to go all the way to the system that's at the end of the line that they happen to be on, and then turn around and come back. Which kind of makes it into this weird chess match sometimes. Also, if you design your ships to be really fast, you can kind of take advantage of this. So you build like a large fleet, and you'll attack this fleet that will try to run from you. And when fleets retreat in the game, they lose half their hit points. But if your ships are faster than theirs, you can actually fly down the grid line and end up at the system they're retreating to before they get there and fight them again.
with their half health.
With their half health, yeah. So they didn't think they were strong enough to fight you before, but now you're fighting them at half strength. The battles are all auto-resolved. You get to choose like a tactic that your fleet is going to use in the battle, and then you can kind of watch the battle happen on screen, which is cool, or you could just auto-resolve it and just see the result. It's kind of fun to watch the ships that you've designed fight in the battle. The battles all look pretty good, but it's really short, too. They over in like 45 seconds and a minute for a big battle. So
that is pretty quick.
Yeah, but it is kind of cool to like watch like this huge massive ship that you built like fly into the screen, and then you'll see it prep its weapons, or if it's like a carrier, you'll see it like drop open its hangar bay doors, and like bombers come flying out to attack the enemy ship. So it's kind of cool to watch. And then, you know, when the enemy ships are blowing up, that's always awesome to see. You can also watch the land battles. So if you like get to an enemy system and you can land troops on their planet, watch that battle take place too. A lot of it is really technology dependent. You really have to pay attention to what's going on in the technology trees, especially with the land battles. I noticed my troops being massacred because they weren't like as technologically developed as the enemy troops.
Okay.
That matters a little bit less with the ship combat, because your technology could be ahead, but you still have to buy the ships for some reason. When your land-based technology goes up, it affects everything immediately, which is kind of annoying. I don't know. A lot went into the ship building. You could build ships that are like loaded with ground troop deployments, so you could like land a huge army on the enemy planet from certain ships or whatever. You can also build ships with things called core crackers, which basically makes them into a Death Star.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Just go around blowing up planets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had fun with it. It's not like the best simulation on the market, but it's decent. It's fun. It's actually easier to get into than some of the others would be. I don't know.
It's good. Nice. All right.
Cool.
I don't know that it's endless. I'm right at the end of the game, actually. So I'm pretty sure that there is an end to it.
Ending space.
Yes, ending space. There are lots of different races. They're all pretty different. So the game could vary wildly depending on who you play as. I'm playing as the Empire. There's also a race of like the Horatii, which is like this dude named Horatio who thinks he's
a people person. Yeah. I thought that was that's Endless Space? I thought Endless that was Space. Another
game. No, it's Endless Space, where he's like cloned himself to be the entire race of people.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. There's
another series called Endless Legend, where this they kind of have a lot of crossover, because they're designed both by Amplitude Studios, which is the studio that made the game. Interestingly enough, I took over a planet that the Horatii had, and like added it to my empire. And like the citizens of the planet were demanding that I transfer everybody who was of a different race off of the planet so they could all be by themselves. And, you know, they didn't want to look at other creatures that were less beautiful than they were. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that, man, Endless Space, okay.
Yeah. Some of the races are like there's the Cravers, which are just trying to eat everything. I definitely transferred them all to their own planet.
Eat yourselves.
Yeah, go mingle among yourselves. Gosh, stop eating my people.
This seems pretty cool. The shipbuilder really seems like pretty neat. So,
yeah, there are other games with like a more like robust in terms of like graphically building the ships, but this one, like the effects are that kind of stuff is more interesting.
Nice. All right, Jeff, you got anything on Overcooked 2?
Not really, other than it's just as stressful as the fucking first one was, and I hate it.
Wait, you hate it?
I mean, like, it's a fun multiplayer experience, but, like, I really do find that game to be, like, stressful. Like, I can't deal with, like, it's just like, oh, I gotta keep all these things in my head and fucking, like, you're just yelling at each other.
It's too much, like, going on.
It's probably like working in a real kitchen, which I'm happy I've never done. Yeah, fuck all that. But I bought it because my girlfriend liked the first one. So I'll be playing more of it. Hopefully I'll get better.
Nice. I played a bunch more of Symphony of the Night. I think I'm maybe about halfway through. That game's really good. The castle is really well put together. I wish that there are like save points all over the place, but sometimes I just forget to like kind of drop myself off after a boss, and then I like continue exploring and I'll end up dying somewhere and all that progress is lost. So that kind of sucks, but yeah. It was a good game, I guess, when it came out. Still a good game now, so. I guess we should maybe touch on the fact that there was an, you know, IGN plagiarism kind of scandal.
I thought you were just going to say themselves. An ass load of news, but yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of news, too. Yeah, so IGN's Dead Cells review went up Tuesday? Was it Tuesday?
Monday.
And it was very quickly determined that the review they put up had been plagiarized from a small YouTuber. And shit kind of hit the fan on the internet.
Well, as it's wont to do.
Yeah, so, you know. What the internet's for.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the irony of this, at least for me, was that I don't really follow IGN that much anymore. Like, yeah. I know that's sort of where most of us
came from, man.
And stuff, but like, with the exception of people like Damon Hatfield and stuff, like, all of the old crew is gone, and even most of the crew that came after them is gone. So we're into like, you know, third or fourth generation staffers who I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I had never heard of this guy. Evidently, it was his first.
He was new. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to make a first impression. Yeah.
Funny thing. I watched the Dead Cells review, IGN's Dead Cells review, that Monday night right before I went to bed. And one of the other videos that came up, like I did a search on YouTube. I'm watching YouTube on Xbox. One of the other things that came up, like right next to it, was like, IGN stole my Dead Cells review. Like, what do I do? And I was just like, I thought it was just some bullshit, some guy complaining. I didn't click on it. Like, that was up literally right next to the review I watched Monday night. Wow. So, like, I could have seen this controversy coming if I had just watched that other video before
went to bed. I mean, like, I don't blame you because, like, I mean, IGN gets a lot of shit just because they're a big site, right? Like, it's the same reason that GameSpot gets a lot of shit and stuff. Like, it's like, oh, obviously, they're paid to review the games, you know, by the publishers and stuff, which that's the case, man. They'd be living in much better conditions in San Francisco than most of them do. But, you know, like, it's easy. I could easily see how that could come up and like, you would just look at it and be like, it's some fucking dude with, like, a bone to grind. Like,
yeah, that's exactly. I was just like, yeah, whatever, dude. Sure, they stole your review. Yeah. They get paid, whatever. Yeah.
but I mean, it was funny too. The next day, like when this all blew up, I did see like some people were like weren't sure whether he was gonna get fired or if it was plagiarism or not. I was like, as soon as I like saw the video that the guy made, I was like, one, that's plagiarism, and two, he's fired by this afternoon. And yep. I think I was right on both. Like, yes, there is a lot of language that is very common to all reviews. I get that. But, like, specific opinions and how they are worded, I don't know, man. Like, I find it very hard to believe, especially with, you know, the fact that that was one of the few reviews out there before this new guy did his review, right? And on top of it, if all reviews sound the same, then how come GameSpot's does not sound exactly like IGN's? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, like,
that's
like,
bullshit. Like, that's a bullshit. There's a case to be made
that, like, as the games, you know, press or like anything, you know, gamers for the most part, like, the lexicon has not changed in the past, like, in 10 years. You know, all combat is visceral. All controls are smooth and all, like, you know,
and no one's going to accuse you of
words are used.
Yeah, no one's going to accuse you of plagiarism for saying visceral combat.
But this one of the best. Literally, like, you know, like taken sentences like and just put some word, like, had just taken the exact same sentences and, like, put the back half in the front and, like, switch them around. Like, I mean, the video that Jeff's referencing, like, has back to back.
It's very clear, like
where like you couldn't, like, oh, okay, and yeah, like, I mean, you know the dude no longer is with IGN, so
yeah, and like I don't know what people would want IGN to do other than what they did. Like, there's no way for them to police that from happening in the first place, but they did. The only thing that makes sense is just fire them. Like, I'm sorry, like, it sucks for him, but I mean, your job is to write, like, so if you're not going to do that, you know, bye.
Right, if you're not going to write your own stuff, like, you don't belong there.
Right.
Yep.
And it's just wild to me that, one, that even happened, and two, that, like, he thought that no one would notice. Like,
he's probably been doing that a long time. Like, the thing that he did that made it hard to notice was he took, you know, you take, how do you compare two videos, like some random video off the internet? And it looked like he'd done it with other reviews, right? But he was using rating reviews before.
Yeah.
And you can't really, like, there's no method of, unless you've read that exact thing, like, you can't use the internet to compare the two. It's really hard to find an engine that's going to. Like, you've probably been doing it forever and just never been caught before.
I mean, must have, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing was, like, the problem is, the larger issue is that the internet will take it and run. And, you know, just like the GameSpot controversy back in 2007, 2006, whatever the Gertzman stuff happened, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, it was just one of those things where, like, for the next year and a half now, every review will be subject to this type of nonsense. You know, whether it's, you know, despite the fact that the guy is no longer with the company or, and, you know, that this literally had only to do with one person, it's like, well, now everybody else's reviews are subject to the same level of ridicule, you know.
Though it would be nice to see, like, them pay attention to the language that they're using and, like, see some sort of advancement.
Yes, right? I mean, sure, I'm all down for, like, hey.
Maybe this will end up being helpful.
I don't see that.
Maybe. Like, never know.
We can hope, right?
I mean, we can hope, but I think it's one of those, like, weird, snake that's eaten its own tail kind of problems, right? Like, where does that language come from, and, you know, how is it popularized? Is it by press? Is it by gamers? Is it, you know, blah, 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 blah. Stuff like that. But maybe it's from YouTube, is actually, but you know, YouTube, ironically, takes a lot of its hints from higher games journalism and stuff, but I would love to see people come up for new words to describe things, because God, is it so old.
It is. I can't. I'm at the point now I have a hard time reading, and it's one of the reasons why I gave up, like, writing reviews
is that you end up using the same language over and over and over again.
Yeah, actually, the Oregon Watch review that we published on the site.
I throw up some shit there randomly.
Crits them up.
I want to write a God of War 1-1, but, like, yeah, at this point, like, it's funny because they just, like, fielded a question about this on the Bombcast. Just, like, once you talk about it on Twitter and on a podcast and on, like, ABC, D, like,
right, really it's, need to go? Like, what else do you need to say? Like, yeah, if you're going to talk about it on a podcast, you're going to do a video of it, like, what's the need for the written review? Like, this stuff is all archived as well. Like, yes, our thoughts are out there.
Hear me.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was wild, right? Because, like Jeff, the first time I heard, like, the very first thing I heard about it, I was like, okay, sure, obviously, that's clearly what's happening here, right? It's just like, some dude with a bone to pick, like.
And I wonder if maybe he was hoping that that is how people would take it, right? Like,
yeah,
like just not even give it any, you know, any authenticity. Like, hey, what he's saying is bullshit. I work for IGN. Would I do that? Like,
right.
And this time around, like, you know, people actually looked into it. Holy shit, you did do it. Oh well.
Yeah, I mean, now it's just and everything went real bad in that run. Yeah, I don't know who they hire next for that sort of stuff. Like, I don't even know who this guy replaced. And
I honestly, when I first saw the story, I assumed it was just like a freelance writer that they gave the review to. And he, you know, did the plagiarism. Not the new Nintendo editor for IGN. Like, what the fuck? Jeez, man. And his first review. That's so crazy.
Well done, dude.
big winner there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, long story short, they took down. The dude got fired. They'll have somebody else re-review the game.
Yeah. Yeah. There will be a new Dead Cells review up. And it won't.
And I did reach out to the dude who was plagiarized from that. Pear was out there saying that they will work out some sort of compensation deal. Like, I don't know if they'll pay him the ad money, the view money, whatever, or if they'll just give him a flat fee and just be like, hey man, we're sorry. Like,
right.
But that dude didn't lose out on all the money from having
his. Oh no. Well, and he. He wasn't, I think, like, his review had, like, 24 views or something like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's a small channel. Like, the guy had, I think, 18,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is not insignificant, like.
No.
For anybody trying to build a following. But, yeah, I don't think that, like, it had necessarily, you know, started to pick up steam in that way, you know.
Right. Like, so, well, that's all taken care of now. Pete, you got any other big hit news items?
Wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess sort of not in the same vein, but in like sort of expose, like wild craziness stuff. Like the Kotaku did like a massive report over the last year and a half, I guess they said, about Riot Games and how they are like just a heinous place to work. Mostly for women, but they're like, but basically for anybody who doesn't fit into like their super gamer bro type culture and stuff. And I mean, I'm not gonna like detail the whole thing because the report is very in depth and very long.
Yeah, it's a long report.
You know, the thing that stuck out to me was, I mean, I guess you know, it's unsurprising in the fact that like you know. League of Legends is known for being the most toxic video game on the planet, and so, like, it's not necessarily shocking that, you know, the place that, or I guess, it, you know, the people that make the game are, you know, equally as toxic, and maybe that has more to do with it than maybe we thought originally.
Maybe that bleeds down into what the game is.
Well, it definitely bleeds into their response to the problems, right? Like, if you can't fix this problem in your day-to-day life, how are you going to fix it in an online community?
You know, it's interesting because, like, they have banned extremely toxic players in the past. There was the famous guy, Tyler One, right? When he came back, like, had broken Twitch records and stuff because he was so popular. Like, he was banned for a full year because of his toxicity and stuff. So Riot has, like, addressed these problems in the past, but I don't know if it's just, like, different people or what and stuff, but, like, you read the responses from the CEO, and it's just wild how tone-deaf this dude is, like, and stuff, and how much he just doesn't seem to get it and stuff. And, like, a friend of mine just started working there, and she works under, like, the social media stuff, and I'm just like, is that now where, what does that mean? And, you know, but, you know, and to be fair, they did say that, like, hey, this isn't every woman, like, you know, there are plenty who have thrived there and stuff, but there are just as many who wound up having to leave because they were never getting advanced because they were considered to be too aggressive or too emotional or, you know, X, Y, and Z and stuff, you know, normal excuses that companies give for not really working well with their female employees and stuff. You know, one woman, she said in her interview process, was asked like 3 times to give a story about games that she had played. And every time she described them, they were all RPGs and stuff. The guy would ask, no, do you play real games like Call of Duty and stuff like that? Like, that was the kind of stuff that they're dealing with over there and stuff like that. But,
awesome.
Yeah, I would recommend people go read the article. It's very in-depth, and it's, you know, the kind of reporting that, you know, you don't see very often, mostly because it does take forever to, you know, get people who are willing to talk on record or even, you know, anonymously or whatever and stuff like that. And then the article also provides plenty of responses from Riot themselves, which all read as, like they found out about the report, I guess, at some point. I don't remember when exactly, but there's a whole list of responses from them about various things and stuff. Like, it's, you know, good actual journalism, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But, you know, the wildest thing out of all this that's only tangentially related to the article was Cliffy B's response to it.
Oh my God. Why did he open his mouth? Why?
Fucking hell. But,
I think I saw that happen.
He'd try and make it about him?
No, but he was like, he basically retweeted the article and was like, sorry, this is a fucking lie. I know plenty of women who work really well there from Riot. You know, you guys are fucking wrong or whatever. I know plenty of women who, like, love their job at Riot or whatever. And then some other random person was like, oh, you know, Kotaku loves to write this sort of shit just for the clicks and stuff like that. And he responds and it's just like, oh, yeah, they totally just write it for profit or whatever. And everyone was like, what?
Yeah,
like, not only are you being completely dismissive to the trauma that, like, these women are facing at Riot, you're also doing exactly what the people at Riot are doing to this author who is a woman. Like, you're just, like, she spends a year and a half on this report, and you immediately dismiss it, you know, calling it, like, an act, like, written for profit or whatever. Like, and then later he came back and he was like, oh, you know, guys, I'm sorry, I can admit what I'm... He was like, I admit I may have been wrong, and, you know, opinions can change, blah, 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 blah. You know, I was really drunk when I wrote those tweets and stuff, and I was just like...
Nah.
Oh my God, the man couldn't even actually apologize. Like,
they're always drunk.
And he kept insisting that it was not a one of those non-apology apologies.
I know, which is
ironic. And it totally was.
It had like 3 asterisks on the end of it. Like, I was like, man, no fucking wonder, like, A, your studio tanked because you were the sole leadership, and B, everyone jumped shit back to their old job. Like, Jesus Christ, like. And what is it? Isabel was out there being like, if I wanted Cliffy B's opinion on something, I'd go back to 2004. Like, or 2006, I guess, when the, you know, when his opinion, I guess, supposedly meant something for, you know, Gears of War and stuff like that. It's just like, good lord. This is the same guy who was mad at Epic because he thought that they were poaching employees from his company when it was in reality that his company was failing and people wanted job security.
Right, and like, you're in North Carolina, there's not many options. Like,
right, it's either Epic or Insomniac at that point.
Right. Oh, well. Anything else going on?
I didn't watch it yet because I got off of work really late. Did anybody watch the big, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 thing?
Just, I did.
Yeah.
It looks good. Cool. Is it more of Red Dead? Like,
yeah, it's more Red Dead.
It's totally more Red Dead.
It's something that like stands out, like, oh my god, like, you know, but it just looks really good.
My hope is that maybe they've done something new.
But... yeah, mostly it just looks really, really awesome.
You're in a gang.
Yeah, you're in a gang. Your gang moves around from camp, from place to place in a camp, and you have this camp where you hunt meat and bring it back to the people, and you meet the people at the camp and interact with the camp people. It's all about the camp people.
Camp people.
Those camp people.
And it is like, it is one of those awesome trailers that they do where it's like narrated and it's just like kind of like telling you about the game. Like I fucking love those trailers.
They're the only ones who do them like that too. It's hilarious.
Huh?
Everybody else does their trailer and it's nothing like that. It's all like gameplay or like told from the perspective of one of the characters. And I feel like Rockstar is the only company that actually does it like that.
Yeah, but they've been doing it for like every game for like a while now. And like I look forward to these trailers, so it was cool to finally get this one. But it just looks like a really good version of Red Dead. Like it doesn't look like it's anything revolutionary or anything. But like, boy, am I excited to play that! It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. And then yeah, there was the Smash Brothers thing where I mean the only. Two takeaways from that for me were, okay, cool. It's not just going to be... Originally, they were like... It sounded like at E3 they weren't going to give a whole new bunch of characters because they were like, we're just going to give you all the characters.
Yeah. There does seem to be new characters, right?
They announced a bunch of new characters. They announced... Was it Simon Belmont?
Simon Belmont with a mirror for Richter Belmont.
Yeah. And Alucard is an assist trophy, which kind of sucks. He's kind of interesting, but King K. Rool, and the reveal trailer for King K. Rool is amazing. Just strictly for the expressiveness they put on like Donkey Kong's face.
I did not see that one.
That one's pretty good. I do not watch the thing live. I only saw the clip of Luigi getting fucking owned by the Grim Reaper. Like
that's in the Castlevania. Like
oh, that's reveal. What that is. Okay.
Yeah,
that
it's like the beginning of that. So you think it's just like oh Luigi's matching type shit, and then all of a sudden,
like Simon Luigi's Belmont shows fucking up. Dead. Like
he's fucking right.
And the people cheered. Yeah,
he's gone. Yep. Like if you ever wanted to, if like Luigi dying is your fetish, and it's kind of mine, like. I kind of enjoy watching Luigi get his in the end. And stuff the Grim Reaper just... oh my god, rips the spirit clean out of Luigi's body, and it's amazing. I'm just impressed. Those trailers, like, have impressed me. Like, they are way more, like, character-driven than... or personality-driven than I would have expected for Nintendo. Just because, I don't know, they don't usually, you know, like, kind of like when they revealed Ripley, right? Like, it was Mario, Samus, and one other character, I don't know. Don't remember exactly who it was. But it was, like, a full show. Like, it's like, oh, okay, these characters can exist in, like, coexist and interact with one another and stuff. Unlike when they did that Subspace Emissary thing, which was supposed to be, like, a grand crossover of all the characters. They never once like bothered to acknowledge each other's presence,
right?
So maybe the campaign in this one will be closer, and maybe it'll have cutscenes like their reveal trailers and stuff, which would be a lot of fun for people.
we'll be, what, 103 stages, so.
Fuck. So many stages.
Yeah.
Is everyone getting that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Are you not getting it, Jeff?
Join no, it. I'm getting it. I got a pre-order. I have, dude, I have Mario Party pre-order. I'm getting every fucking dumb thing that they put out.
Yeah, I mean, for Jeff, that's not really... But, I mean, Smash is, like, the only reason I buy Nintendo home consoles, so...
Yes, it's crazy.
It's the only game we're playing.
It's crazy.
Or there are other games worth playing.
Well, I mean, once I own the console, sure, but, like...
What did you get Dead Cells on?
PC.
PC, yeah. Yeah.
Fucked up, Holmes.
I just touched my Switch.
Everything on Switch. I get literally everything I can on Switch. It's the best.
Okay.
I didn't have any follow-up to that, sorry.
I don't.
There is no follow-up.
I mean,
that's it. That's the final word.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but if that's where you want to play your shit there. That's good.
It's so good there.
Did you, okay, Jeff, did you buy Dark Souls? Did Dark Souls actually come out for the Switch?
I don't think it's out.
No. I did. It's still
come out yet, or you didn't play it yet?
It has not come out yet. And the rumor is, like, the date, it's been still summer. Like, that's the release date. It still says if you look up summer.
You have 21 days left.
Rumor is October, which is, like, not a good time for it to be coming out.
I just want you to play it on Switch. Play that on Switch, and then we'll see.
If you want everything on Switch.
Everything should be on Switch, yeah. When your frame rate dies halfway through fighting the Capra demon.
Well, so, that's a... Like, I downloaded Fortnite on the Switch, and it is the worst version of that game.
Yeah.
The worst. Like, I didn't play... I haven't played it on the PS4, but my phone plays the game better than the Switch does. It's fine. It's playable, but there's a lot of popping, stuff drawing in. Like, it's just not a great version of that game. So I don't necessarily agree everything is everything on Switch, but...
Maybe if the Joy-Con...
If it's better, anything... Like Celeste or fucking what's the game? Dead Cells. Even though Dead Cells is technically an inferior version, I would much rather play it on the Switch. Like, just knowing that I could take it off of my TV, like, for certain games like that, it's sure. Huge. It's awesome. But yeah,
I want to play Hollow Knight on the Switch for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But at least I know by now that game will run on the Switch, though. Dead Cells, maybe not so much. Yes, I mean, they are working on it. Like, they will fix it, so...
Smash will run excellent
on the Switch. Oh, yeah.
Sure. I'm not gonna
doubt that Nintendo's own games, you know?
That whole, like, kind of, like, indie development or whatever side of it, like, I don't know, like, the Switch has a lot of, like, really cool smaller games, you know?
Yeah, man, it's the Vita 2.0.
That's exactly, dude. But it's like the celebrated Vita. Like, everybody loves it. Like, so it's just like, it's getting tons of love, dude. Like, Okami came out this week as well. Like, just fucking...
Oh, that's
not... Everything's going to be on there.
Yeah, Okami HD did come out, so...
I might want to play that, actually, because I've never played Okami.
So. That's a long-ass game. You get your money's worth.
Yes, well, like a 35-40 hour game. So,
Jesus.
Let's see. And I don't know. We don't really talk emulation here, but Nintendo is waging war on emulation sites.
They finally figured out what they were. They were like, "Oh shit! How long have these been around?"
Yeah, 18 years for. Emu Paradise. that they were hosting ROMs and stuff. And they decided this week that instead of trying to fight off Nintendo and whatever, that they were just going to purge their archive and kind of take the site in a different direction. Guess what? Love ROMs or something like that. Love Retro got taken down a couple weeks ago.
Well, I think they got taken to court.
Did they get taken to court? I know they got like a cease and desist, and
somebody's getting sued.
The sites were taken down. Like they were not up. They are not up anymore. So yeah, Nintendo is they're on the warpath and they're taking down emulation sites left and right. So
I mean, they'll always pop back up again. Like, you know, they just like everyone's got to like duck their head under and.
Yeah, and that what's strange about Paradise was that they had actually pulled all of Nintendo first party stuff from their site a year ago.
Well, then what are they worried about?
Just because Nintendo is coming after anything that was licensed to them on their systems. Because Nintendo wants to be able to go to Capcom and say, hey, we want you to put on NES Mini 2 or whatever. So that they don't care. Like, if there are games up there, they want them taken down. Yes, you're right. There are sites still out there. It's a shame because a site like that one had been up for so long, and you knew that you were, like, if you were downloading something there, you were getting something that wasn't filled with viruses. And,
sure, but it was safe, yeah.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, yes, there's maybe not even a legal gray area for some of this stuff. Like, it is often illegal, but in some cases, like, this is the only way to play those games. You figured there was, like, what, 900... Nintendo Entertainment System games. Nobody's going through and re-releasing all those games. And there are a lot of games that, like, companies have gone out of business, and you can't legally buy those games from them anymore because those businesses don't exist.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be making a retro collection of them. So, but yeah, it's a, something that's Nintendo is hell-bent on doing this time around. I'm sure behind the scenes, Sony and some of the, like, EA, and that they are also making pushes against this, but Nintendo seems to be very vocally going, we're getting this shit done, so.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I feel like it's at some point they just actually realized what that stuff was. And...
Right, which is funny because it seems like I don't know if you remember from back on the Wii, but it seemed like they needed to download like a ROM from one of those sites because they didn't actually have the original source code.
Yes, for, I remember that. Yeah.
For one of their own games. They
basically
released like a ROM dump. Luckily, I had when they took down those other two sites, I was like, I'm going to go and download everything I can, and spend a couple nights doing that. So it wasn't on my agenda to do, but when I was like, I think Nintendo is going to start taking all these sites down.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you got to do.
Yeah. Which, I mean, look, I would gladly go and give some of these companies money for their game, but they're not selling them. So, like, what's the value in me giving $150 or something to some guy on eBay versus me downloading a ROM of it?
Right.
Like, the money's still not going to the developer. Yes, it's piracy, but... who is it hurting at that point? I don't know.
Right.
It's a weird thing. I do understand that, like, a lot of those games are games that you can buy. Like, people are downloading Super Mario Brothers 3.
But, like, you do buy those as well. Like, I don't know.
I do. Bad. Like,
you're getting my money, dude. So, just like, either you could get more of my money or less, but I still want to play all these games. Like,
yeah, like, look, I have Super Mario Brothers 3 on fucking everything. Like, every time they release it, I'll rebuy it. But also, hey, maybe being able to play it on my PC is something I could do, too. I don't know.
Yeah. I've always thought that the idea of just closing some of this stuff off is going to do them more harm than good in the long run. But
yep. But we did get a question in, which I kind of passed to you guys earlier.
Probably already forgot what the question was.
Probably. we were just talking about Smash, and Earl wrote in, and he was talking about Smash, and he said, if we were going to make an all-star shooting game, kind of like Smash Brothers, which franchise would you like it to most mimic, and name 5 characters who need to be in it?
All right, Jeff, what do you got?
I know who I want to mimic, and that is, like, I don't know, like, the era of first-person shooter that I really love is, like, the PS2 era. And, like, you know, the style of, like, first-person shooter, you know, like, Bond and Perfect Dark and shit like that, I think was perfected with Time Splitters. So I want it to feel crazy like Time Splitters. And, you know, sense of humor and all that, and also just, like, that style of FPS. But
okay,
as far as characters, I don't know. How about some of those Time Splitters characters? Give me Gingerbread Man. I don't know.
It's not the direction I expected this to go in at all.
No,
also, at the same time, it is exactly the direction it was supposed to go in.
Exactly. No. All right, well,
Jeff ruined it already with the first one.
No, the
Time Splitters. Alright, if you're gonna have Smash Brothers FPS, Time Splitters is a great template.
I never even played Time Splitters. I did play those Bond games though, and those Bond games were dope. Nightfire, I think, was the one that I played.
Yeah, buddy.
They were fine. They don't hold up.
No, they do not.
Not even a little bit.
Nobody knows how to nobody knew what the proper control scheme for games like that was supposed to be.
Yeah, and now they figured it out. But Jeff wants to reach back to terrible controls.
Time Splitters were perfect controls, and Time Splitters is fast as fuck. Like, most shooters today don't move as fast and smooth as Time Splitters.
See, I kind of feel like if you're going to, like, do this kind of thing, it has to be, and include characters, it's got to be, like, a character-driven FPS, like Overwatch.
Yeah, right? Buddy, that was my answer.
It's got to be. And if you're going to do first person, I mean, you got to have, like, Master Chief.
Yep.
Let's see.
I would take literally any other character from that series than Master Chief.
You have to pick Master Chief.
Unfortunately, yeah, Master Chief. He's just so boring. He's not even a character. God.
Doom guy.
Yes. Has more personality than Master Chief.
Yes.
Odd job.
I mean, you could reach back and bring those characters in. You want to bring.
Yeah, if we're doing a Smash Brothers of FPS. Yeah,
right. Like, I think Tony's absolutely right. Like, in order to get each character properly represented of what they brought to the table during their time, you have to have, like, an ability shooter.
Like,
that'd be cool. Sure.
It can't just be, like, image swaps, right? Like, it can't be Call of Duty, like, just with...
Right.
Odd job. Halo guy or, the shit out of you.
Yeah, like that. It has. I think you two are right. It has to be kind of an Overwatch or what is it? Paladins? Is that the other big?
I don't even know.
I think that's the other one.
I don't know. They've like copied every game on the planet. So who knows what they actually are these days? Master Chief, Doom Guy. Like, I even figure, like, James Bond. Like, all the class, half the class shooters were Bond games and stuff like that.
Who's the dude from the first three Modern Warfare guys for Call of Duty? I can't remember his name.
Soap.
Yeah. Bring in Soap.
I mean, I guess you could call him that, but he would look like literally every other character
in Call of Duty. Well, it would just be like, I mean, it's either that or Call of Duty dude.
You're right. I would love it if they just called him Call of Duty dude. That would be fucking best. The heavy or something, you got to get a Team Fortress character in there.
Yeah, I think you have to go weird, right? Like, you have to have, like, some cartoony characters like that.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you're talking like you're doing an all-star like roster and stuff that represents like classic shooters and stuff like that, like Team Fortress.
Marcus Fenix, come on, bring him in there.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily a fan of Duke, but I think you need Duke Nukem there as well.
You do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You do. Okay.
How about test subjects from Portal?
Gordon Freeman and all that stuff.
What do you mean, Chell? The one from Portal, Jeff?
Yeah, you have one character, like, that's their abilities due to portals and shit. Like,
yeah.
That would be cool.
Some of those, weirder.
Right.
Then
what you do is after you run out of classic multiplayer shooters, you go to classic single player ones, right? Which I guess we've been doing with Duke already, but Gordon Freeman and all that stuff. Like,
I
like this game idea.
Yeah,
probably way more interesting than whatever Quake Champions was.
So. And I'm not even like a multiplayer shooter person, but like something like that would like just it has that star power. I'd be like, all right, I'm buying this. I love half these games that are in here. So
throw Nate Drake in there, blow the crap out of him.
Third person shooter. Sure.
Nah, not cool. No, he can't come.
He can't come.
No, it's got to be strictly first person.
Well, I mean,
no Mark.
Why?
You could.
Well, if you throw in what's her name from Mirror's Edge?
Sure.
Oh god. She's not allowed to have a
gun. What face?
Her ability is running away.
Try to kick people.
Her ability is to take the gun away and then shoot the rest of it, but not well, and then just run away.
Yeah,
you throw the gun at people.
Now she's like the weird melee character that only four people play because she can't shoot, but she can instantly take away your weapon and like
beat you with it.
Every time you see her in there, you hate her.
Right, because she
she beats the crap out of you every time and don't understand how.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you play as her, it's just you die immediately.
If I were any good at programming, I would make this game, but I'm terrible at it, so this game will never get made.
That would be a fun idea, like to do a mashup like Smash Brothers, but
yeah, but in like the shooter.
I mean,
Who's the guy from the more recent Deus Ex games?
Oh, Adam Jensen?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a dope dude.
He has a cool look to him.
Yeah.
Augments and shit.
Right,
then you get like, I mean, if we're doing third person, then you do like, you get like Lara Croft and stuff.
Her in there, and there's plenty of other third person shooters you could add characters to.
And then you could base the stages off of like levels in each game and stuff like that. Get the whatever the famous GoldenEye map is. I don't remember at this point.
Facility or no?
And then the There's crazy unlockable character, the Joe character, is Banjo. Because in Banjo-Tooie, there was a multiplayer mode that was a first-person shooter.
There's that Conquer mode, right, Jeff?
Conquer's banned. He's not allowed in the game.
He's not allowed. Yeah. All right, Earl. We didn't give you four different ideas, but
we gave you one actual good idea
and one good idea and a bunch of characters. And I think we actually came away. We will play that game.
Joanna Dark.
There's only one way that game could be made. Like after that, like where else do you go?
Kyle Katarn.
Oh, yeah, another melee character. That's right. Yeah, it just uses the lightsaber.
Well, I mean, in the original Dark Forces.
Oh, that's true.
He just used a like stormtrooper rifle and blasters. But yeah, you could have him use the lightsaber and just instantly kill people.
We just have, or people, if they're ultimates, his ultimate is to use the lightsaber.
Yeah. And it would jumps out to like third person when you do it too.
That's right, yeah.
Because who the hell wants to use first person lightsaber?
Not me, and let me tell you, they made you do that in Dark Forces 2, and it was not fun.
Yeah. Alright, well, I look forward to that game. Earl, get it done.
You're in charge of getting all the licenses.
Yeah, you get all the licenses and programming it. We'll take credit for it, though.
That's right.
Madden next week, Tony?
Oh, yeah. Well, pre-order is available for pickup right now.
Nice. Oh, it came out today.
Yes.
Friday.
Technically, okay. It came out Tuesday if you bought like the
$100 edition.
Yeah. I think it was 80. But still, I can't like, I never get the $80 version because it has all the stupid team packs. I never play that mode. That's the only thing that you get.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. As opposed to like NBA 2K where the other edition is $100, but it includes like 100,000 VC. I'm like, well, it's kind of tempting now.
At least gives you incentive to do it.
Right.
So we'll definitely have Madden. Jeff's going to play more Overcooked, even though he doesn't like it. You guys are probably going to continue with Dead Cells, so
yep.
Maybe you'll make it a little bit farther. And maybe I'll make it to Chapter 2 or something in Octopath.
Woo!
Oh, and I'll be able to talk about 2046 read-only memories on the Switch.
Oh.
Okay. That comes out Tuesday. So, yeah, I'll be able to talk about that next week.
It's an interesting history of the developer of that game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe tell me later. All right, we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.